Hey, thanks for praying with me. This is the highlight of my day with you. I just love this opportunity to pray. I was thinking about this. I was at a funeral over the weekend. My producer, Tom, as I shared with you in the past, his 31-year-old daughter died just a couple days short of her birthday, and her twin sister had taken it hard. I spoke to him this morning, and I'd ask you to continue to pray for all who mourn. I mean, the loss of life is such a difficult thing. Father David Simonetti, who's been a regular on this radio program, too, over the years, a beautiful Catholic priest. He lost his father 3 weeks ago. I got a text from him on my drive back from this funeral that his mother just passed away as well. So to lose a mother and then a father in about 20 days, that's brutal. I know what it's like. I've experienced it. And when you lose both parents, you almost feel orphaned. Even though you might have siblings or spouses or children, it's a strange feeling. That's so strange. So I want to pray for him. I want to pray for Tom. By the way, Tom's going to stop by tomorrow. I asked him to come on the show tomorrow after he's having a little bit of bereavement time so he can clear his head after losing his daughter. But he wants to come on and just say thank you to you. And he wants to share what he went through. He really attributes his ability to navigate these difficult times to your prayers, to the grace that he received. And grace is an amazing thing. It does. It'll fortify you and it'll transform you. It'll help you to rise above the most difficult situations. And if you're in a difficult situation right now, I just want to say this to you, because I think it's important you hear it. God will never give you a cross that is too heavy for you to bear. He'll never do it. And if it feels that way, he'll give you the grace to endure it. Trust me on that. I just got word that one of the great couples that often travel on pilgrimage with me, John and Susie, I'm going to keep your last name private. Susie just came down with a cancer, and I just want to bring this to you and ask you to pray for her. I mean, cancer, it seems to affect so many people, doesn't it? It's just unbelievable how many people are battling it. My producer's daughter died in about 3 weeks, you know, and my wife's cousin battled it for 5 years, so let's just pray for those who are now facing this chapter of their life. I want to pray for you if you're waiting for your test results or your scans to come back as well. And just a couple intentions here, and then Maggie will be joining me. We'll get her intention too. This person wrote to me, look, I've written for a prayer request for my only daughter, who just told me last year at the age of 34, she has a female partner. Drew, I'm really struggling with this, especially as she was totally involved in working with youth and other ministries in our church. My husband seems to feel, it's okay. I refuse to accept it, she says. I've been told that this kind of thing is very common these days. Just accept the situation. I want my daughter back. I need us to be there and to have a relationship. Now, we hardly even chat. I've been told just to love her. Could you please have prayers for her that God's will be done in her precious life. Please thank all those who are praying with you today. Thank you, prayer warriors, she says. Another person wrote to me and says, Drew, I appreciate your prayers. My daughter has same-sex attraction. I'm asking continued prayers for her. She told her girlfriend about her family approaching her about concerns, and her girlfriend confronted my 13-year-old daughter, who was very angry with her. I've been crying and feeling like I'm losing this battle. I just need some help and support. I ultimately know in my heart God will win this, but I do need a miracle. Thanks for listening, and I'll keep her name anonymous. It's not uncommon. How many families have loved ones with same-sex attraction? And so often this can be a divisive part. And I just want to ask the Lord to bring healing into that situation, wherever it is, for unity and that love be the common denominator. There was a 10-year-old girl who was in a car accident. Their parents are asking for a miracle. She's in the ICU at Children's Hospital. And one last intention here, too, if I could. This comes from a person with diabetes that can't feel their feet. 50 years old, they stepped on a roofing nail, and it's now infected. They may have to amputate it. So, my producer, Maggie, joins me today. Maggie, always good to pray with you. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for having me.
Anything you want to lift up before we start?
I would love to pray for anyone who has been on a Lenten journey this year. I want to pray for everyone this Holy Week that we can all embrace our crosses and surrender to whatever God has planned for us. Because on the other side of that suffering is redemption and resurrection.
Amen to that. All right. Well, Maggie, let's pray for that. We'll pray for all those who have written to us, all those that are putting their tweets in right now with their prayer intentions. I'll do my best to get you on the air today. So let's begin. We'll turn to the Father of mercy as we pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, let's take our first call. Mary is in Big Bend, Wisconsin. Mary, thank you for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I got five things. I'm going to go really fast because I want other people to be fit in here.
Right.
Prayers for my nephew, Patrick, having part of his left leg amputated this Thursday, Holy Thursday. Also, prayers for my sister, Sylvia, who has a lump on the back of her neck that they think might be arteriovenous malformation, which is bad. She's having an MRI Monday, April 18th. We pray it disappears before then or not found to be anything serious. Also, prayers for my brother, Harry. He's recently diagnosed with AFib and other heart problems. He's having a cardioversion next Wednesday, April 20th. Pray for his success and shortness of breath goes away. Prayers for my sister-in-law, Cheryl, and the soul of my brother, Dennis Michael Fandle, who passed away suddenly from a massive brain bleed March 7th. And for all of us who are in shock and so sad to lose him. And lastly, a few prayers for me. I have an additional diagnostic breast studies tomorrow morning. Praying they don't find any cancer or anything serious. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you for all who are praying. Yeah, Mary, thank you. We're praying for you and for all those intentions from the amputation to heart surgery to cancer. Lord, I give you, Mary, so many health issues and concerns. And I give you all who are united with me right now, Heavenly Father, and I just intercede on their behalf. Please hear their cries, hear their prayers, hear those intentions in their heart. Give them the grace to carry the cross that you've given to them, the will and the fortitude that they need to continue on and the ability to know your will, Lord, and to discern it. And if it be your will, we pray for miracles as we do every day. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Blanca is praying in Chicago. Blanca, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for everything you do. You're such a good person. Every day I listen to you. When you're not there, I feel like I'm missing something. Anyways, I have a prayer concern for one of the teachers at work. She has bladder cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Candelaria. And then I wanted to pray for somebody that I know, the same thing, same-sex attraction. We need a miracle for that, too. And a few of my health issues that I have. And my friend Nori, she always prays for me. And last week, a couple of people have called my little girl that's tried to kill herself or flash herself. I don't know if she was 11, 12. Oh. I still keep thinking about her. So just pray for all those kids that I just lost.
Thank you, Blanca. You're a sweet lady. Thank you so much for your kind words and for those prayers. And Lord, I just give you everything that Blanca has just voiced. I do want to pray for those who have body dysmorphic disorder. I want to pray for those who self-mutilate and cut. I want to pray for those battling bulimia and anorexia. I want to pray for those with suicidal ideations on this particular chaplet as well, Lord. I want to pray for those with severe crippling anxiety, those battling depression. And I bring you all these souls, and I just ask for the miracles that they need, and I trust them to you as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call. Maggie, do we have Twitter today or don't? Or no?
I do. I've got it.
Well, good. Before we go to our next call, let's share some of those. If you ever can't get through on the phones, I know they fill up pretty quickly. Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. That's the show account. You can follow me also at Drew Mariani. Very simple, right? If you want to do that, Maggie takes all those intentions, brings them to us during the chaplet, and of course monitors our site. So please check that out and leave us your intentions, and Maggie will share them. Maggie, what can we pray for today?
Diane wrote to us. She said, my son Jacob is 9 years old. He has high-functioning autism and some slight ADHD. He has extreme fear and anxiety about their cat, who apparently is a very gentle cat, but he will get angry and sometimes harm himself when the cat is present. So she's asking for prayers that Jacob might find healing and peace. Brendan is praying for clear CAT scan results for his dad, which is coming up soon. Please pray for him and for the whole family that they might get good news. And he also asks for prayers for his writing projects, that he can honor God with his talents above anything else and hopefully make a career out of it. Yeah. Taney wrote to us in line with what you were talking about earlier, Drew. She said, please pray for my stepdaughter, who told us recently that she's atheist and loves women now. Also for my niece, who thinks that she is a man and has completely changed her looks. Thank you. Dee wrote to us and said, during Autism Awareness Month, I ask that you pray for all children with autism, especially Matthew, Trey, and Jason. And then lastly, Yolanda wrote to us and said, praying for healing for me and my son and for all people and animals of the world.
Oh, all right.
I thought that was sweet.
We'll lift them up. That is sweet. I love it. I mean, every intention is important, right? I mean, everyone, large or small, God wants to hear them. He says, ask and you'll receive. And he's a loving father. He wants to hear what's on your heart and, you know, what you need. And so let's turn to him now with that trust, and we'll ask for his mercy. We'll bring Josephine in, too. She's joining us from Union, New Jersey. Josephine, thank you for calling. Good afternoon. Hey, Josephine, are you with us? All right, we'll come back to you then. We'll sneak. Who's up next? Beth in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Beth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Everybody's a little... Go right ahead, Beth. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Asking prayers for Char, who has pancreatic cancer.
All right. Well, that's it. We'll pray for that. I want to pray for Susie, and I want to pray for anyone who's battling cancer again. Lord, mercy. That's what we ask for every one of these intentions. For all of your children who are crying out to you today, you said that no soul will ever fathom the depths of your mercy. Not through all eternity. The angels say, you know, St. Faustina wrote in her diary, it's the astonishment of the angels and it's the wonder of the saints, God's mercy. It's his greatest attribute, Faustina said. And trusting in that, we turn to your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Josephine, listening in Union, New Jersey. I'll see if she's there. Josephine, good afternoon.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to pass on. Oh, there you go. Go ahead, Josephine. Go ahead, Josephine.
First and foremost, I'd like to pray for world peace. And I would also like to pray for you and your family and for everything that you do. But I
am calling. That's so sweet.
Hello? Hello?
Thank you, Josephine. That's so sweet. No, go ahead. I can hear you. Go right ahead, Josephine.
Recently I went into kidney failure, and I am about to start the process of seeing if I could be accepted for a kidney transplant. So I am praying for all those tests to come back positive, and just that to give me strength and trust in God. And it's been really hard. It's been very hard.
I can only imagine.
So I would just ask your prayer warriors for some prayer.
Well, I'm glad you got through. I'm so glad we were able to connect.
Thank you so much.
Our family here, we are a spiritual family. We're going to pray for you. You got it. Count on our deepest prayers. I'll remember you personally in my prayers this evening too, Josephine. It's a big cross the Lord has given you. And you know, I often think, you know, I think it was St. Teresa of Avila who once said that, you know, God's so full of compassion. He'll never fail those who are afflicted, right? If they trust in him, they'll never fail him. And I so believe in that. The greater, the more persistent our confidence in God is, the more abundant will be the grace and the response that we get from him. So, Lord, I just stand on those promises of the great saints, and I give you this soul who's willingly carrying this cross, but asking for your mercy. And I'm sure there are many other who are going down the same path. We bring them before your Son on the cross as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll see if I can't sneak a couple extra intentions here in the final decade. We'll start with Lucy in Clearwater, Florida. Lucy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Hello?
Hi, Lucy. Hi, it's great to have you.
Hi, I am so thankful for this moment. I thank you for everything that you do for us in prayer. Hearing the beginning of your prayer today, I had to get in and call. December of 2020, I had an operation on my right foot, and since then I've been on my journey of healing. But last year I was given the
I don't know whether we lost you or not. Lucy, please call back. I want to hear this.
I'm here.
Are you there,
Lucy? I'm here. Last June, I was hospitalized the fourth time on the same situation, and the doctor only gave me a option of amputation. And at that moment, it was the hardest moment, but I turned it all into the Lord. I offered it all to Him. Being a new Catholic as well, I'm a convert in the same year, just in 2020, and learning to offer it up. I offered it up to the Lord, and I said, you do whatever you need to do. And I'm standing on my both feet today.
Praise God.
Because
that's
He
fantastic.
Hears our prayers.
Oh, amen.
He hears our prayers, and I'm in the last stage of recovery, but I am in that stage. It's taken 16 months, but God will do it. And sometimes God does it instantly, and sometimes God brings healing slowly
so
that we may learn and we can trust in Him furthermore.
I wanted to
praise God for that.
God bless you, Lucy. I'm so glad you called. First of all, let's rejoice in this beautiful answered prayer and the way God is working in your life. And I love the testimony, because so often we look for instant miracles, right? And we've seen this. We've seen scans one day of tumors. The next day, they're gone. You know, we see miracles take place all the time in a very rapid fashion. But God can work in any fashion, in any timeline He so chooses. And I love your prayer. Sometimes the answer comes about slowly. Sometimes it takes that grace. It takes that ability to continue trusting even when things are difficult. St. Stephen of Rieti, he once said that trusting God means believing in His care for us, even when it seems evil's gaining the upper hand. And when we're sick, when we're down, when we're drowning in debt, when the lawsuits are building, you know, the legal problems are mounting, it seems like there's no way out. But if we persist in our faith, if we persist in our trust, God always comes through some way. And I'm so happy for you, Lucy. I want to pray for all of your needs, all of your personal intentions, whatever they may be. I just want to give thanks to God for that answer. And please write that down and email me, drew@relevantradio.com. As God works miracles in your lives, drew@relevantradio.com, mark an answered prayer. Lord, I want to pray in Thanksgiving this final decade. I want to give you everyone, PK and Shirley and Marianne and Josephine and Anna and Jerry and Pamela and Connie and Mary and everyone who's on hold with me here today, Lord. I give you their intentions. Everyone united with me in prayer, wherever they may be. Everyone who's written. And I ask today that the torrents of your mercy flow, that grace reach these souls, that healing, that conversion, that blessing, that abundance come into their life. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Sopochko,
pray for us.
Venerable Samuel Mazzucchelli,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, stay with me, because you're going to want to hear this conversation. Two things are coming up. One, a friend of mine last night sent me a piece of video of a reported miracle in Pueblo, Mexico. I'm going to put it on my Twitter page for you here at the network, so you'll be able to see what we're talking about. And I want to share with you a little bit about you discern. I don't know whether it's a Eucharistic miracle or not. I want to talk about these because this thing emanated light, and we've seen that throughout history in several cases. Host of bled, this emanated light. Well, I'll fill you in on what's happening with this Eucharistic miracle. And coming up, when we return, as we enter Holy Week, I thought there's no better way to make it real for you than to give you a sense of what it was like in the time of Christ in the Holy Land. We'll do that when I return. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Today's show brought to you in part by Sony Pictures production, Father Stu. This biopic shares the conversion and ordination of Stuart Long in movie theaters nationwide on April 13th.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So good to be with you today. Yeah, coming up a little bit later in the broadcast today, a couple things we'll get into, too. In addition to the Eucharistic miracle, 74 bishops sign an open letter of warning to the German bishops about schism. And we'll speak to a priest who was in seminary with his Father Stu. An interesting story. You'll hear some of John Morales' conversation with Mark Wahlberg. So we got a lot still coming up for you. Right now, if you're tuning in, we are into Holy Week, and I really hope, if you have not done this yet, you will really begin anew. I know you might have made a commitment on Ash Wednesday to make Lent special. Maybe it hasn't been as special spiritually as you wanted it to be. Not too late to begin today. I mean, we are entering this incredible time of year where we'll journey with Christ. You know, we had Palm Sunday. We saw people praising him, but we'll go through the conniving of Judas, and we'll experience Spy Wednesday together, and you know we'll take a look at the Last Supper in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Passion of our Lord, and right up through the crucifixion. So we got a lot ahead, a lot we can meditate on, a lot we can pray about. It's a great opportunity for you to do that. So one of the things I thought I'd do today is just bring it to the Holy Land. Actually, talk to somebody there. What's it like? What was it like in the time of Christ, and how can we make this experience of Holy Week, how can it become more real for you and for me? And I'm joined by two people today. One, we've had Khalid Jacob with me in the past. He's the CEO of Nativity Pilgrimage. I'm actually going to be on a pilgrimage with him in October. And if you want more information, you can always go to relevantradio.com/Holy Land, and you'll get info on that. I've also invited Father Marwan Adidas. He joins us today. He is the Reverend of the Church of the Annunciation within the Nazareth Parish in Israel, and thought we'd get a sense of what it's like. It's midnight there now, so he's staying up very late to be with us, and I'm grateful for that. And Jacob, it's good to have you with us. Father, it is an honor to have you with us as well. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
Well, let me start with you, Father. We're now into Holy Week, and I just thought it would be important for all of us to, have a picture painted for us of what the Holy Land was like during the time of Christ, and maybe how we can best prepare for this holy time of year, and what it's like maybe today, too. So let me just throw that to you, and you can lay that out for us.
Well, first of all, good afternoon to everybody, to the people that are hearing us from the United States and from the other countries, because I know that you go worldwide. And thank you for inviting me to talk on your show. It's a very important show for me, because I used to hear you from time to time, but now being here in Nazareth, I don't have enough time to follow up with all the mass media things. But it is good to know that there are still people, spreading the word of God through the radios, through the Facebook, through the Twitter, and all mass media communication systems. It's really important and crucial, I think. The Holy Land of the time of Jesus. The Holy Land of the time of Jesus, you need to think about a land full of conflict. We all have to know that it was a land occupied by the Romans. The Romans at that time used to occupy the whole known world at that time, from A to Z. You know, every single land that was known to human beings was ruled by the Romans at that time. Mm-hmm. And the Jews used to live in Jerusalem and in the Holy Land, in the part of Israel and what we call the historic Palestine. And they were occupied by the Romans. And the Romans at that time, they used to be also very intelligent. What do I mean with intelligence? I mean that they ruled everybody, but they had this intelligence to give a space for the local people that had been ruled by them to have some of their freedom and autonomy and authority. So usually they did not touch the religious part of the people and the population that they ruled. This is why the temple at that time, at the time of Jesus, still had its powers and could bring Jesus to a trial. You know, it wasn't easy for Jesus to go to the trial in the temple. It was not easy at all. And as a matter of fact, talking about Jesus' trial, it was so difficult because it was an ambiguous thing between the Jews and the Romans. So he was brought to the cross, not only because he was he had a problem with the faith according to the Jews at that time. He was called also blasphemous, and he was not accepted to be the Son of God. But he was also accused to be a rebel. This is why they brought him to the cross. This is why they put him on the cross. The death on the cross was not something easily done at that time. You have to be a big criminal to end up on the cross.
Wow.
So Jesus Christ, for the people of that time, he was put on the cross for two major reasons. The religious reason, that he talked in a very wrong way for the faithful of that time, and for being a man that could be a little bit of danger for the Roman Empire. This is why he was put on the cross. This is one part of the story. The other part of the story is also very puzzling. Puzzling for whom? For the people that followed Jesus, for the people that believed in Jesus. I'm not talking only about the apostles, but I'm also talking about all the others, the poor, simple people that believed in him. They saw him doing so many miracles. They heard him preaching for more than 3 years. They lived with him. They watched him walking, talking, telling them about God and God's love. And they saw in him also the power of a man that could control the wind, that could control life and death, and that could give so many miracles and healings for so many people that were seeking healing. So At a certain point, this powerful man, this man that could seem to be like really the Son of God at that time, is becoming truly weak. He's in the hand of the Romans. He's in the hands of the soldiers, the Romans, and he could not even defend himself. He has been beaten in front of them. He has been condemned to death in front of them, and he has put on the cross in front of them. So it was a very puzzling situation for them. What to do? How to keep their faith? Or was he really the right one? Was he really the Son of God? Was he really the right man to follow? So I think Jerusalem at the time of Jesus was a Jerusalem full of challenges and conflicts. Yeah, today, if we bring this imagine, if we try to imagine it and bring this picture into our world, Jerusalem is not only the city of Jerusalem. I'm not talking about geography only, and now I'm not talking only about a site. Yes, Jerusalem as a geographical point of view, where we live here in between the Jews, the Arabs, it is still a land of conflict. It is a land of conflict. We cannot deny that. But it is also the Jerusalem that we live every day, everywhere where we find ourselves. As Christians, in the whole universe, in the whole world, we have challenges. We have our conflicts. We have to prove so many things to people that do not believe in God. We have to affront them. We have to be there for our faith. Jesus didn't take a step back when he knew he was being taken to death. He didn't take a step back. So it's up to us, with all the crosses that we bear in our lives, with all the difficulties and the challenges, it's up to us to decide if we can give a full testimony of our faith in front of the people that we're living with, of the faith of our faith in God. So do we want to step back?
Yeah.
Do we want to continue in God's will?
Yeah.
If we really believe in Him, even though our situation nowadays is still puzzling for us, and it is still like ensuring for us, but we still know in the depth of our hearts that God will let us have salvation at the end, and His word will live on and will win all the difficulties that we're living.
That's beautiful.
So I think what Jesus lived in that time is just a continuous repeating of what we can live every day.
Yep.
So in our, you know, and I don't want to exaggerate, but I think we're just like Him.
Yep.
We're just trying to struggle and to stay fit in our faith and to have our foot in just in the depths of our faith.
Yep. Well, Father,
despite all the problems, all the conflicts that we have in our daily lives, this is our Jerusalem today.
It really is. Father, thank you. I know it's late there for you, and I want to take a short, before I take the break, Jacob, let me get you in here too. You heard Father very eloquently talk about Jerusalem, the Holy Land, the Passion, and why it's so important today. Just some final thoughts from you. Why should people travel there today? In your opinion, why is it so important for the faithful to walk in the footsteps of Christ?
It's very important to go to the Holy Land to discover the gospel. You know, we read the gospel, but it's very hard every time to connect the sites with the events. I think when they go to the Holy Land, they discover the gospel totally different, and they live the gospel. So that's why I believe every Catholic, they should, or every Christian, actually, they should at least once on their lifetime to do pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Its experience definitely is going to change their life. You know, we try to increase the number of pilgrims, and we have a great success in the last couple of years to take a lot more Catholic than before. The land, it's called them. The gospel, it's called them. The way, you know, I receive hundreds or thousands of testimony every year when they come back, the people, that definitely it's a life-changing. And it's way to discover and live the gospel than before. Even priests. I told the priest, if you never been to the Holy Land, you miss big part of your preaching, because you have to go and live the gospel in the Holy Land and experience the sights. You know, we know, like, you know, every gospel in the world, they're going to talk about the Holy Week, about the Garden of Gethsemane, about the, you know, the higher room, about, you know, the... All these sites, it's very hard to imagine it in your imagination without walking there. And that's why we tell the people, pilgrimage, it's not a tour. It's place, especially to the Holy Land, it's place when you're ready to change your heart to be closer to God.
Well, if anyone wants to join you, I know my daughter's actually going to the Holy Land next week. She'll be there for Divine Mercy Sunday. I'm going to be traveling with you, Jacob. I know that's coming up in October. People want more information. What's the best way to connect? Maybe they can walk in the footsteps of Christ, encounter the grace that Father spoke of, and you know, enrich their priesthood or their marriage or their own walk with Christ. What's the best way to connect?
You know, the best way to connect, to call the office. Let me tell you some good news, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, hold the
Israel
thought.
Israel today opened with no vaccine.
Israel, you know? I mean, Jacob, hold the thought. I have got to take a short break. We come back, I'll let you share that. Plus, when I come back, okay, I'll share with you a powerful story of a Eucharistic miracle that was reported, supposedly, in Mexico. You can discern it for yourselves, but there were other places where the host has emanated light, and so often our Lord, in his mercy, pulls back the veil and shows us his true presence. You know, we see Eucharistic hosts bleed, turn into heart tissue, maybe even emanate light. A lot of discernment is needed, but I'll share with you when I come back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Drew Mariani is here for you on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I'd love hanging out with you. A lot to talk about. I'll share with you this video that was sent to me last night by a friend, and I'll let you discern it. Could it be a Eucharistic miracle? We'll talk about that right now. Just wrapping up a conversation with Khalid Jacob. He is the CEO of Nativity Pilgrimage. And throughout the week, I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Land. I want to bring you there, let you know what the Upper Room was like, what Calvary was really like, give you some insight into the Holy Land. It might help you better understand the scriptures and why certain things were said the way they were. And Jacob, I know we only have a moment or two left with you. I'm just curious. You said you had some good news to share, and it had something to do with vaccinations. What's going on?
Okay, the good news, Brother Wu, that Israel take off all the restrictions for COVID requirements, so there is no vaccine required. So you can go to the Holy Land only with negative PCR tests.
Wow,
that's the only requirement at this point. So to find more, visit relevantradio.com/. I will put that on update for the website today. For sign up, if you're interested to have a life-changing experience, to go to visit and live the gospel, take the very big advantage to go with Drew Mariani in October. To find more information, you can call the office at 832-406-7050 or go to relevantradio.com/Holy Land. You will find a lot of information. It's life-changing trip to the Holy Land. There's no restriction today, no vaccine, and I will be, Drew, I have very special story. I will share it with you on Thursday about the Last Supper and about the Upper Room. So I will be very excited to tell you a very special story. Thank you for having me. Forward to be with you again tomorrow and after.
Thank you, Khalid. Thank you, Jacob. It's good to have you with us. And again, if you want more information, just go to relevantradio.com/Holy Land and you get all the deets on the trip. It should be good. I'm looking forward to going and praying. It's going to be a beautiful time of year, October especially. And if you can't make it, I'm going to have you send me your prayer intentions too. I've been meaning to tell you that. And I'm going to set something set up so you can send them to me. And I'll personally take them to Calvary and pray for you. And if you have trouble with your marriage, I'll take them to Cana where the wedding feast was taking place. And if you're having problems with your vision or your ability to walk, we'll take them to so many of these places where miracles took place. It's a pilgrimage. It's a time of prayer, so I will pray for you. But, you know, I forgot to do that. I want to get something set up so you can send me those prayer intentions, and I'll take them I'll take them to the Holy Land with me. So, anyway, my thanks to Jacob there. I want to share with you something that came in. Last night, I got back from this funeral. I went to my producer's daughter's funeral. She was only 31, and I was just opening and taking a look at the show for the next day because I've been out of the loop for a couple of days. And he says, you got to check this out. He says, you know, it looks like there was a Eucharistic miracle that took place in Pueblo, Mexico. And I'm like, Eucharistic miracle? What's going on? Is it bleeding? Did it levitate? Did it turn to human flesh? and he sent me a link to a video. And again, I'm going to put this at relevant at Drew Mariani Show. At Drew Mariani Show. That's the Twitter account for the show. And Maggie will put it up there. I put it at my Twitter page. You'll find it at Drew Mariani. If you haven't done that, Maggie will probably retweet it. At Drew Mariani, you can find it. And it's there that he sent me a host that looks like it's luminescing, if you will. Shining a light. Pulsing is probably the right word for this. And again, I say use your discernment on this. The church will evaluate this and determine whether or not there's anything, you know, of a supernatural nature here. But this is not the first time things like this have happened. I remember, of course, Eucharistic miracles have taken place across the centuries, for sure. I mean, they've turned to human flesh, like in Lanciano, right, to Italy, when a priest was saying Mass and doubted the true presence. And the chalice, which was filled with wine, turned into blood. The host turned into human flesh. In Argentina, a future pope, a cardinal by the name of Cardinal Bergoglio, would have a reported Eucharistic miracle evaluated, sent to forensic laboratories, and found it to be human, found it to be a Eucharistic miracle. That cardinal would go on to become Pope Francis. In Batania, Venezuela, on December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, a film crew was there and captured Father Oti Osa Aristizabal, the local priest, celebrating Mass, and his host began to bleed. The bishop by the name of Bishop Pio Bello Ricardo, he went ahead and took that host and had it submitted to a local forensic laboratory. They found it to be human blood, right? So these miracles take place all the time, and they have. But what about light? I want to talk to you about that. There's a great story of a Eucharistic host that emanated light. It was a story of a woman who was having trouble in her marriage. So she turned to a witch, a sorceress, to get a love potion for her daughter, for her husband, is what she wanted to do. And the nun, the witch said to her, hey, do me a favor. In order to cast this particular spell, if you want to create this love potion, I need you to go and get me a consecrated host. This is back in like 1247. It took place in Portugal. This Eucharistic miracle is still there. So she went, she grabbed this. And at Mass, the woman managed to get a consecrated host. She wrapped it in her handkerchief and was on her way to the sorceress when the host began to bleed. It was bleeding profusely, and the woman became very frightened, so she hurried home. She hid the cloth and the host in a drawer in her bedroom, or it might have been in a chest. I forget how the story ultimately goes. That night, as her husband came home, she didn't say a thing. She was terrified to mention what she just did. A bright light began to emanate from either the drawer or the chest that this thing was hidden in. And when her husband saw it, the woman confessed to what had happened. And the following day, the townspeople came to the house attracted by the light, and people did adoration. They took the host back to the church, put it in a wax container, and it continued to bleed for 3 days. And the host remained in that wax container for 4 years. One day, the priest opened the tabernacle door, and the wax had broken into a number of pieces, but in its place was a crystal container, and the blood was inside. That's still there today. I know it sounds fantastical. The woman's husband wasn't faithful in cheating on him. She went to extremes. And there's so many lessons in this story, lessons about marriage, about chastity. But the greatest lesson is about our Lord's true presence in the Eucharist. Not only did this bleed, it emanated light. And that's not the only one. There was a parish priest who had a similar experience come from his tabernacle. So the stories go on. Check it out at Drew Mariani. It's up there. Maggie will retweet it at Drew Mariani Show. And you can check it out yourself. Discern. I'm not saying it's authentic. It could be a photo phenomena, a trick of the camera. Something worth looking at, though. I'll be right back.